सोयं समस्त जगतं सुहृदेक आत्मा सत्वेन यन्मृदयते भगवान् भगेन नैव मे दृशमनुस्पृशता यथाहम् रक्ष्यामि पूर्ववादिदं प्रणता प्रियसौ
Let the Supreme Lord be merciful towards me. He is the one friend and soul of all living entities in the world, and he maintains all for their ultimate happiness. By his six transcendental opulences, may he be merciful toward me, so that I, as before, may be empowered with the introspection to create, for I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, Purushottam, or Sri Krishna, is the maintainer of all in both the transcendental and material worlds. He is the life and friend of all, because there is eternally natural affection and love between the living entities and the Lord. He is the one friend and well-wisher for all, and he is the one without a second. The Lord maintains all the living entities everywhere by his six transcendental opulences, for which he is known as Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma prayed for his mercy so that he may be able to create the universal affairs as he did before. Only by the Lord's causeless mercy could he create both material and spiritual personalities like Marichi and Narada, respectively. Brahma prayed to the Lord because he is very much dear to the surrendered soul. The surrendered soul knows nothing but the Lord, and therefore the Lord is very affectionate towards him. An astounding quality, which is so very attractive to people who have good character, is when a person is endowed with opulences and yet can remain genuinely humble. It is a very difficult and rare thing in this world. Queen Kunti prays, Janmaishwarya Shruti Sudhir Edamana Dapuman, that when one is endowed with attractive opulences in this material world, the nature is one becomes infatuated with false pride. One becomes very much expectant of respect and adoration. One becomes very much attached to the idea that I am the doer, and see what I am doing. See what I have done, and you just see what I will do. One cannot sincerely call out the name of the Lord when one is a victim of such false ego. And we find within this world, along with our success, along with our accomplishments, as they grow, so does our false pride. Therefore, Queen Kunti prays that material opulences, or what people of this world consider good qualities, are the greatest disqualifications for one who wants to transcend the ocean of birth and death and approach the Lord with sincere feeling. In one sense, to be successful in this world is a curse, because Maya is so strong, and her greatest agent is our own false ego. But if somehow or other a person has very high education, very profound abilities, great wealth, fame, extraordinary beauty, one is very, very renounced. If one has these opulences of strength and still remains very, very humble, very much eager to serve others, that is so attractive. People really can put their trust in such a person. People can love such a person. But it is very rare. Material accomplishments and humility are contradictory. Unless we have a philosophical understanding and some realization of the truth. Prakrite kriyamana nigunai karmani sarvasha ahankara bimutatma karataham iti manyate. We should never consider ourselves to be the cause of the results of our actions. Or as it is said in ordinary English parlance, do not be proud of borrowed plumes. If you borrow something from someone, you should not call it your own. You should not be proud of it. We should be proud of the person who owns it, who has somehow or other loaned it to us for some time. Whatever knowledge we have, whatever abilities, whatever strength, it is all being given to us by Krishna, temporarily. Krishna explains in Gita, Saravasya cha ham hriti shani vashto matasmitira jnanam apohanam cha. That he is within the heart as the Paramatma, and he is giving us all our knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. We can try, but without the ultimate authority and sanction of God, what can we do? We can study so many scriptures or so many books about whatever profession we may be pursuing in life, but if Krishna does not give us the power to remember, we cannot remember anything. Where does this power of remembrance come from? Of course, it is said that God helps those who help themselves. He reciprocates with us. If we make the effort, he will give us, according to our previous karmas and according to the sincerity of our desires, he will give us a particular state of ability to remember. However, even if he gives, he can take it away within a second. Srila Prabhupada tells the story, Punar Mushtaka Bhava, about the little rat that was very much disturbed by being chased by cats. So he went to a great rishi who had mystic siddhis. Please make me a cat. You will not be happy as a cat. No, I know I will be happy as a cat. So he became cat. What was the first thing he did as a cat? He started chasing mice. But as he was chasing the mice, he met a dog. And the dog, very, very ferocious dog. He became very afraid. He came to the rishi, please make me a dog. The rishi said, all your material arrangements to try to find safety and happiness in this world will never be successful. No, just make me a dog. Philosophically, I understand what you're saying, but if you just make me a dog, then you see how happy I will be. So he made him a dog. And what was the first thing he did when he became a dog? He started chasing cats who were chasing mice. Now he thought,
Just see, when I bark, everyone is in fear.
Last night, we were going to Sachi Sutta's house. There was a little dog this big, just barking. Really, little Rajaguna dog. Just wouldn't start screaming and screaming. And the dog sense gratification is when they bark and scream. Big dogs, they have some more potency. But these little tiny dogs, they just want to see that you're afraid of them. That's their sense gratification. It's really, even a little dog has such false ego. When they see, oh, the dog is barking. Just see my power to cause fear in these people's hearts. I am the controller. But what really drives them mad is when you ignore them, like they don't even exist. Then they just... It's intolerable to them. We're not fearful of their prowess. Since most of us have been dogs in our past lives, and within our hearts we know the psychology of dogs. Just revealed from time to time. So everybody has this desire to be the Lord. And this dog, he was thinking so good until he met a tiger. And then he ran to the Rishi, please make me a tiger. The Rishi said, when are you going to stop all your material adjustments? Be content with who you are and chant Hare Krishna, please. No, no, I will, but first make me a tiger, please. Only I attain that stage, then I will be happy. This is Maya's power. She's always tricking us to waste our human existence moment by moment with some other promise. If you just see this, if you just taste this, if you only possess this, if only you can do this, then you'll be happy. Yes, of course, self-realization is the goal of life, but this is first. After all, don't be fanatical. You have to understand, what is the priority? The priority is, obviously, the here and now. You want this? You should have it. You must have it. And here's how you'll get it. And as far as self-realization, surrendering to Krishna, that will always be there. That's always there. But this is only here today. Get it. Grab it. Hold on to it. Hare Krishna. This is how Maya consumes us moment after moment. So he became a tiger. But then as a tiger, he started looking at the Rishi. Because tigers, they have a big, big ego. They feel that they have the right to eat anything they want. Rishi said, oh, what are you looking at me like this for? Is it that you want to eat me? The tigers looked at him. Yes. What will you do? What will you do now? What will I do? Punar mushtaka bhava. Again you become a mouse. Squeak, squeak, squeak. From a tiger to a mouse he became. Within a second. So in the same way, why should we be proud of what Krishna gives us and think it is our own? This is the downfall of human civilization. We should understand that it is all Krishna's grace. We cannot even wake up in the morning. We cannot open our eyes. We cannot breathe unless the super soul empowers us to do these things. So a person who understands the truth, the reality, how Krishna has given, and Krishna will also take it away. It is a matter of time. So let me use it for Krishna and get the best benefits. While I have it, let it be for Krishna. Then a person can actually be humble. Real humility is not just bowing down 100 times every time when someone comes in the room, or saying, I am the most fallen. Real humility is to actually be convinced of the reality that Krishna is the all in all, that we are his parts and parcels. And whatever we can do, whatever we have, it is only by the mercy of Krishna. That is real humility. And if someone is endowed with this pridelessness, even though having such tremendous opulences in this world, that is all attractive, because that is the quality of Krishna. Krishna has all opulences in full, yet he considers that all of these opulences, all of his greatness, is due to his serving his devotees. That is renunciation. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Vishnu reveals his own heart. All the great demigods and rishis, they all are seeking shelter from the miseries of this world by coming to my lotus feet. Anyone who remembers my lotus feet is liberated from the cycle of miseries. Anyone who concentrates their attention on my lotus feet achieves the supreme bliss of the spiritual world. Where does this power from my lotus feet come from? It is because I serve my devotees. The blessings of my devotees has given me this power to deliver anyone from the cycle of birth and death. It is the blessings that I have received by serving my devotees that has given me the power through my expansions to create, maintain, and annihilate all material existence. When the four Kumars heard Lord Narayan speaking these words, they became completely enraptured in love for him. Such a person. He's the supreme source of everything, yet he doesn't even take any credit himself. He gives it to his devotees. If that is the humility of the renunciation of Krishna, what should our position be? Here we find the example of Lord Brahma. Compared to Brahma, who are we? He lives 311 trillion years. We may live, Hare Krishna. We don't know if we will live till tomorrow. He knows he will live. When Brahma is born, he knows it is an irrevocable fact he will live 311 trillion years by human calculation. When we're born, we don't know if we'll live till tomorrow. And even if we somehow or other survive the dangers of this world, which are lurking in every corner, at the most we may live 90 or 100 years. And by the time we're 90 or 100 years, what is our physical state of existence? Hare Krishna. Brahma, on his 311th trillionth birthday, he's still youthful and full of power and knowledge. Hare Krishna. In our 50th birthday, we see everything falling apart. What to speak of our 90th birthday? What to speak of 100th birthday? People have to blow the candles out for us. We can't even breathe. We cannot even breathe hard enough. To do. So this is the power of Brahma. We can create a few children. And somehow or other, if we can maintain them, we are thinking this is a great accomplishment. Brahma has created every species of life, not only human civilization, every species of life is his great, great grandchildren. And he's maintaining everyone. But yet, here we find, after a night of Brahma, Brahma lives a day, and then at night he goes to sleep. So many billions of years. And then he has to create everything again. It's a partial creation and a partial annihilation. So here he's saying, he's just woken up, and I have to do this creation again, but Krishna, only you could do it. If you leave me on my own, There's nothing I can do. I surrender to you. I am doing this as a service to you. I'm not doing this for myself. It is your order. I am your servant. But I have no capacity even to serve unless you give me the power to serve. Prabhupada gives the example that when you worship goddess Ganga or Jamuna, Godavari, Saraswati, Kaveri, Krishna, Sindhu, these great holy rivers. In Maharashtra you have the Chandra Bhag. In the scriptures it is called the Bhima Nadi. When you want to worship, you take water from the river, and with a prayer of devotion, you offer it to the river. How much water is already in the river in comparison to what fits in your 2 palms? And even with our 2 palms, there's so many cracks, we can't even hold it properly. So we are holding the water that we're taking from the river, and we are offering it to the river. And yet Mother Ganga considers it such a wonderful gift if it is offered with humility and devotion. She will reciprocate by fulfilling your innermost desires if you just offer that little water with devotion. Does she need the water? We are taking it from her. It is the nature of a child. A small child has no independent existence except what the parents provide. 4-year-old child cannot make it on his own. The 4-year-old child, whatever money, whatever facilities, are all coming from the father. If that child buys a gift for the father, with the money that the father has given, the father's in bliss. He's so happy. My child has given. My child loves me. This is so wonderful. If a multimillionaire man, if some business associate buys him a brand new Mercedes-Benz, he thinks, so what? I can buy 10 myself. But all right, you've given. Because you want my money, you've given. Hare Krishna. You want my support, so you've given. He's not enthralled with happiness. Even if someone gives him a big, big palace, he could make his own palace. What does he care? Thank you very much. But if the child comes and brings him a little set of kartals and says, Daddy, please accept these kartals. Happy birthday. The father is ready to start dancing in kirtan playing his kartals. Weeping and crying. My son has given me this. He doesn't think, it's my money. He doesn't tell his son, what nonsense. You took my money and you're getting, you think I need it? I can buy 1 million of these. I can buy 10 million. In fact, I manufactured them. He bought them from my store. He could say like that. But no, because the little child is giving with love. This is more valuable to me than everything I own. That is the nature of the love of a father. That is what makes one dear to the father. So Lord Brahma, he is the perfect son of Lord Krishna. You have given me the powers, now I want to use it in your service. If you do not give me these powers, I cannot serve you. I want to create this universe, and I'm requesting you to give me all the introspective wisdom which is required. But the only reason I am asking is because your desire is to use me as your instrument. I want to serve you. I want to please you. Please empower me to do so. If we have that consciousness, then we can always be protected from Maya. Maya cannot make you fall down when you have this consciousness. Pride cometh before the fall. We only fall victim to Maya when we have false pride. As long as we're humble, even if we are very, very, very gifted, as long as we are humble, as always we feel is we are the servant. We are offering Krishna his own transcendental gifts. And Krishna will always protect us. Lord Brahma, in this beautiful, beautiful verse, is explaining how Krishna has created this entire universe through him, only for everyone's ultimate happiness. This material universe created by Lord Brahma, who is an instrument of Krishna, is all to teach us all a good lesson. And what is that lesson? That we can try, we can make so many efforts, so many adjustments, birth after birth after birth, to find the happiness that the soul is longing for. But it is impossible unless we turn to the source of all happiness, and that is Krishna, and become humble and find our happiness in serving the object of our love. Krishna is the supreme, complete whole. He finds his happiness in serving his devotees. We are parts and parcels, as it is our nature to find happiness by serving Krishna and serving Krishna's devotees. Ultimately, everyone is Krishna's devotee. Therefore, one who loves Krishna wants to serve and show his or her love for every living being. Only then can we find the real nature of happiness, which is within us. Lord Brahma is such a devotee. He is the founder of the original Sampradaya, the Brahma Sampradaya. We are coming in his line. Materially, we are all descendants of Brahma. But spiritually, we are also descendants of Brahma. Because through our disciplic succession, we are receiving exactly, without adulteration, the knowledge that Krishna spoke to Brahma, Brahma spoke to Narada, Narada spoke to Vyasa, and it came down through so many great acharyas to the present day. Imagine Brahma's wonderful, wonderful experience when his sons are people like Narada Muni and Marichi, such exalted, pure Vaishnavas, Paramhamsas. Where are they coming from? Krishna is giving him these children. It is not by his own efforts. At the beginning of creation, Krishna instructs Brahma. And then Brahma instructs his sons, like Narada Muni. But where is this Narada Muni coming from? He just hears from Brahma one time and starts playing his veena and traveling all over the universe, enlightening everyone with pure unalloyed devotional service. Brahma sees Narada Muni making Prahlad a devotee, making Dhruva a devotee, making Valmiki Muni a devotee. What a proud father he is to have a son like this. But Brahma is fully aware that this son is not mine. This son is the servant of Krishna. Somehow or other, by your inconceivable, miraculous, unlimited potency, you have put Brahma within me to come out and be my son. A father should think like this about child. Did I create this child? What's happening? Somehow or other, my wife's womb is some sort of factory taking place there. Nobody knows what's happening. And even if you know intellectually how this child develops in the womb, you don't really know. All you know is something's happening there. In this stage, it's like this, and this stage is like this. But really, what's happening? What type of a miracle is birth? A man and a woman in Kali Yuga, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't even want a child, but somehow or other, it's coming. Such a miracle. A man and a woman come together. They're not even thinking about, let us plan this out very carefully. Let's make our master plan. When the semen mixes with the ovum, we will make the molecules and the chemicals and the various cells mix. When the semen mixes with the ovum, we will make the molecules and the chemicals in the various cells mix like this. We will stir it in a certain way, and then it will start developing like this. And how we... Do we plan like this? It's just happening. And then a child comes out. Is it our child? Is it my child? Krishna has created it. He's just used you like a test tube. Now there are these test tube babies. I don't know so much about it, but I have heard test tube babies. The test tube doesn't create. All the mixtures are coming from outside, but somehow this is just the container. So that's what a mother's womb is. It's just a container. And Krishna is supplying the chemicals. It may come through the man, it may come through the woman, but he's created, he's supplying, and by his laws of nature and karma, a little jivatma enters into that inconceivable situation of fluids. And that little jivatma, when he goes into those little fluids, all of a sudden he starts developing like a factory. And then he comes out, and we're thinking, my child, my son, my daughter. Krishna. Krishna's son, it's Krishna's daughter. Of course, when Lord Brahma creates, he doesn't even have to do these things. He just thinks, and somebody comes out. That's Brahma's power. Huh? He just moves his hand and some whole dynasties come out. He just talks. All of a sudden, different species of life start coming out of his mouth. He created the four Kumaras from his mind. Just by thinking, the four Kumaras came out. He told them, now you must assist me in my service. My service to Krishna is to procreate all the different civilizations of species within the universe. Not only this earth, but the whole universe. Four Kumaras said, no, we will be brahmacharis. We don't want to become entangled like you. We want to be brahmacharis. Brahma, actually the four Kumaras were exceptionally liberated souls. But Brahma became angry with them because he wasn't angry for his sense gratification. He was angry because they were interfering with his service to Lord Vishnu. So in his anger, Lord Rudra or Shiva came out from between his eyes. So this is how Brahma creates. Not just creating some little baby crying and passing stool and urine. Just by his anger, Shiva comes out of his head. Such a great personality as Brahma. But he doesn't even know how it's all happening. He just knows it's the mercy of Krishna. So please, Krishna, give me the power to serve you. Let me be an instrument of your will. Let me be a vessel of your kindness within this world. That is the prayer of Brahma. I am surrendering to you. And because I have surrendered to you, by your causeless mercy, I am very dear to you. Let this always be my meditation. This is the perfection and goal of life, to be dear to Krishna, to be dear to Guru, to be dear to the Vaishnavas, who are all Krishna's representatives. And if we achieve that, we have all wealth. We have all opulence. If we do not achieve that, we are just tottering. Tottering like a drop of water on the leaf of a lotus petal. At any moment, everything will be taken away. So let us invest our energies to achieve the real wealth, which comes through knowledge. Knowledge that Krishna, who is seated within our heart, is the source of everything. Let us be instruments of his will and serve him with humility and devotion in every aspect of our life. Let us assume that responsibility. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, what is the difference between memory and remembrance? And you said, Maharaj, desire and...
One at a time.
The part of things. Related to the remembrance.
The difference between memory and remembrance is memory is the power to remember. But remembrance is the fruit of the power of the memory. Does that answer your question? Memory is the power that Krishna gives you to remember. But the fruit of that memory is when you remember. Hare Krishna. It's like the kitchen and the preparation. The kitchen has all the ingredients. When you take the preparation out of the kitchen, it is coming from the kitchen. So similarly, Krishna is the source of remembrance. That means he gives us a memory. And every little thing that comes from that memory is called remembrance. Hare Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, regarding remembrance, you said that this depends upon our desire and karma. Now, as far as we can desire, we can go for intense desire for remembrance of Krishna, but about our past karmas, we don't have any control over it. So how to get this obstacle of karmas from this remembrance?
By taking shelter of Krishna. Past karma, you have no control over what comes from the past, but you have had control in the past. If you put your hand in fire, you have control whether you're going to be burnt or not, because you have the choice whether you put it in or not. But if by your free will you misuse your control and put your hand in fire, then you're burnt for the rest of your life. You have to live with that. You have no control over whether you're going to have that burn. But it is a result of misusing the control that you had at one time. But at the present moment, we do have control over what our future will bring. In the same way, we may have so many karmas of the past which we have created. Man is the designer of his own destiny. Krishna just supplies the ingredients and says, now you do what you like. You can make a mess or you can make something wonderful. Here's the ingredients, here's the intelligence, this is how it should be done, now as you like. However, in whatever situation we're in, our desire determines our future, whether we have a lot to work with or a little to work with. Still, our desire is what determines our future. And Krishna is reciprocating according to our desire. If due to your previous karmas, you are very bad memory, and you have very little to exist within this world, if you just patram pushpam palam toyam, if you just try to remember Krishna, you may not be a big philosopher due to past karmas. You may have no capacity. But if you just remember Krishna, little child, Srila Prabhupada said, just the fact that she knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and likes to tell others, her life is perfect. That's all she has the capacity to comprehend, but she's always thinking and speaking. Krishna's the Supreme Lord. That is the perfection of her condition. So if we use whatever we have with the proper desire, in a mood of surrender, then Krishna will give us everything. Yes?
Brahma knew all these things. He has complete knowledge. Everything is coming from Krishna.
When he stole the cowherd boys and cows, calves. The question is, if Brahma knows all these things, then why did he steal the calves and cowherd boys to test Krishna? Because he's a completely surrendered soul.
That is why.
Because he's completely surrendered to Krishna, Krishna uses him in any way he pleases. Krishna covered him by his yogamaya potency. Krishna had just killed Aghasura. And Brahma was thinking, what kind of a wonderful personality is this? He's just a little boy, and he killed this massive, massive serpent named Aghasura. He wanted to see who this personality is. He wanted to test his opulences. But where did that consciousness come from? It came from Krishna, because Brahma is a surrendered soul. Krishna can even temporarily cover his knowledge of Krishna's opulences just to use him to perform wonderful, wonderful pastimes. If Brahma did not temporarily forget that this is Krishna, this is my worshipable Lord, we wouldn't have this wonderful Leela to discuss, even thousands of years later. And just by hearing this Leela, we learn so many good teachings. We become completely purified. Just by hearing this Leela, you will achieve love of Krishna if you hear it sincerely. So Krishna simply wanted to perform this pastime. It was such a wonderful pastime. If we go deeper into Krishna's transcendental love for his devotees, every one of the Brijvasi ladies and cows and men, all the gopas and gopis, they loved Krishna more than their own children. Maharaj Parikshit was astounded by this. He never saw in the world. He was the king of the world for so many years. He saw everything. The one thing he never saw is how a parent can love someone else's child more than their own. Have you seen it? It's very rare. Even if our child's a rascal, still we love them more than a child that's good, if they're somebody else's child. I remember when I was a little boy, sometimes I did not get good grades in school. And sometimes a neighbor's child would be the top of the class. But my parents still loved me more than him. Why is that? Love is blind. He was better than me in every way. Why they love me? Why not him? Everything about him is good. Everything about me is useless. Still I'm like that. Still my parents love me. It's a miracle. And though I'm a sannyasi and everything else. Why don't they love somebody who's a big, big businessman supplying so much money? I don't give them anything except prayers and blessings. It is the nature. You love your child. But Maharaj Parikshit saw in Vrindavan, everyone loved Krishna and Balaram millions and trillions of times more than they loved their own children. And they loved their own children more than we have the power to love today. How is this possible? Krishna knew that he was the son of Yashoda and Nanda. But every one of the older gopas and gopis, they loved him with parental affection, vatsalya ras. They were not envious of Yashoda and Nanda. They simply wanted to assist Yashoda and Nanda in their loving affection for Krishna. But in their heart of hearts, they so much wanted the opportunity to just profusely give all of their parental love to Krishna as their own child. So Krishna is unlimited. He wanted to give them that love. So he wanted to expand himself to become the child of every single gopa and gopi. So how to do that? For this he wanted to utilize Lord Brahma. Krishna was out with all of his gopas and they were sitting on bank of Jamuna taking nice prasad. When the calves, the little calves, were going, Brahma was alluring them with fresh grasses away from Krishna. This is also a lesson. We were discussing this last night. how material energy allures us with so many nice, nice arrangements just to take us farther and farther from Krishna. Every cow of Braja loved Krishna more than their own life. When the cowherd boys were thinking, where have our cats gone? Krishna said, you stay here and eat prasad. I will go look for them. Krishna loves to serve his devotees. You sit and enjoy. I will do the work of looking for the calves. So he went, and when he came back, Brahma had stole all the children. For one full year, the children and the calves were all in mystic slumber. But Krishna did not want the parents of the calves and the gopas to be frustrated. So he expanded himself in an identical form to each calf and each cowherd boy. He spoke exactly the way each cowherd boy would speak. He knew every one of their mannerisms. He knew each calf's heart of hearts, how they would lick the mother, how they would sing. He imitated the exact voice, the exact gestures, the exact characteristics to such an extent that for one full year there wasn't a single cow or parent of all of these thousands and thousands of children that even suspected that this is not my child. In every way, because he's the Paramatma in everyone's heart, he knows. So the only difference was that all the cows and all the mothers and fathers for that year were in supreme ecstasy. They never loved their children so much. When Balaram saw the calves, the cows coming to their calves, and the cows were just crying and weeping and licking their bodies, Balaram, such love, such ecstasy. One can only love Krishna like this. So Balaram understood that Krishna had incarnated in all of the calves and all of the boys. So Krishna wanted to fulfill the innermost desire of all of these devotees. Now how to do it in a wonderful way that creates such a pastime that everyone's hearts will be charmed for the rest of time? So Krishna temporarily covered over Brahma, because Brahma's a surrendered soul, willing to do anything to assist Krishna. He wasn't in Maya. He wasn't in illusion. He was forgetting because Krishna caused him to forget, just to use him as an instrument for a beautiful pastime. Does that answer your question? This is Krishna's transcendental nature of humility. Rohini Nandan Prabhu is asking that it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam by Krishna that all of my opulences and powers are coming because I serve my devotees. But we know that he is the source of all powers, so why is he saying like this? Is that your question? He's saying this because he is transcendental. Even though he has everything still, his supreme opulence of renunciation is he wants to give credit to everyone else. He wants to give credit to those who are completely dependent on him. It is not that Krishna doesn't know that he's the source of everything. It is not that Krishna doesn't know that all of his devotees are either his expansions or his parts and parcels. Krishna knows everything. But still, the love of his devotees is so great. He is conquered by that love, by his own free will. And when you become conquered, you simply want to give all credit to that. When Krishna speaks like this, we must understand this is simply a divine expression of his love for his devotees. These words are an ecstatic reciprocation of love. Just like Krishna, when Mother Yashoda catches him stealing the butter, Krishna runs away. And when Yashoda Mai catches him, he allows himself to be caught. He understands, I'm about to be punished. And he starts confessing, I did it, Mother, I did it. I will not lie to you, I did it. But please, do not hit me. Now, my question to you, Rohini Nandan Prabhu, is Krishna really afraid of Mother Yashoda? In his expansion of Mahavishnu, do you think he's afraid of a little gopi? But yet, he is. He actually is afraid. It's not just a show. It's not that he's just pretending like a dramatic actor. He actually is afraid. He's actually crying. Why? Because he's so conquered by the love of Yashoda. So conquered that he accepts fear just to reciprocate with that love. So this is Leela. Leela is not something that can be comprehended always with our logical, intellectual prowess. How is it that Krishna is the master and source of everything and yet he gives credit to everyone else? Because his devotees have conquered him with love. He is considering that whatever I have is only due to the love of my devotees. And that is the greatest opulence of Krishna. The great acharyas explain, Krishna's power to create everything is not his greatest opulence. His most attractive of all opulences is although he is the greatest of the great, he is the conqueror of all conquerors. Still, by his own sweet free will, it is his greatest pleasure to be conquered by the love of his devotees. To feel subordinate and helpless by the love of, in the light of the love of his devotees. When Krishna lived in Vrindavan, the gopis' love for him, they would say, dance, and he would dance. When he was a little child, he was like a little puppet in their hands, totally controlled by their love, by his own free will. And that supreme opulence of Krishna, which is the source of the ultimate pleasure, can only be understood by a bhakta, by one who worships Krishna with great devotion. Then Krishna, by his own free will, gives us the power to understand this most intimate of all secrets, how Krishna agrees to be conquered by the love of his devotee. Shri Radha Giridhari ki. When Giridhari was holding up Govardhan Hill, he was only a boy of 7 years old. Yet the Brijavasis, the men of Vrindavan, they were thinking, it's not, what we're seeing is not possible. He's only our child. When lightning comes, he runs to our arms crying, please save me. How is it that he's holding this? It can't be. So they were taking sticks and going like this. And they were thinking, actually, we're holding it up. Because Krishna just wouldn't let them believe that he was doing it, even though he was. Because it would interfere with their love for him. But then he made it tilt a little, and then all their sticks started breaking. They realized, actually, he's doing it. But then a second later, he covered them over to think, we're doing it, he can't do it. He's just our little child. This is the greatest opulence of the world. This is the supreme, most intimate understanding of the Absolute Truth. How the Supreme Controller is controlled by the love of even his most insignificant devotee. Shri Radha Girihari ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Gopinanda ki. Thank you very much.
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry. Address is International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatty, Bombay 400007, India.